there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
Well, this is True News, and I'm Rick Wiles. Today's Tuesday, September 14, 2010, and we are into the next week of our September sabbatical from world news and the headlines and the politics and all the commotion in the world. Okay, well, Nathan Liao is on the telephone. Nathan is a man who has devoted his life to listening to the voice of the Lord. He lives in Idaho. He's got some place there in the mountains of Idaho where he can pray and seek the Lord. And his website is watchmanscry.com. Many of you visit his website and listen to his audio messages. It's always enlightening to have Nathan on the program. Nathan, hey, welcome back to True News.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be here.
Well, Nathan, I feel like we are in another season. You and I have, we have private conversations. We share with each other. Sometimes we talk for hours. I often joke, I wish I could just record our private conversations and broadcast them. I'd like to have a program called Rick's Phone Calls. because lots of times when I'm talking to you or Augusta Perez and many other people, in our private conversations, we get into topics and we're like, wow. Wow, that was awesome information. We've never talked about this before, And then it's like, yeah, I wish we had this on the radio. But we've got about 40 minutes right now to share some of the things that we're both hearing. And I think we're in a new season. Something's changed in the spirit realm, Nathan. Something has changed. I've been on the Watchman's Wall for 12 years. Something's changed. It's just a different feeling. I feel like the time of warning is over. I feel like just be quiet. Like the Lord's turning my attention, saying, just take care of the sheep. Feed the sheep. You don't have to warn anymore. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from me. My ministry for 12 years has been 100% warning. But now I feel, Nathan, like the court verdict in heaven has already been rendered. The sentence has been delivered. It's now in the process of being executed. And the focus in my life, my ministry, is becoming more towards encourage, strengthen the remnant church, and just focus on them right now. What's happening with you? Where's God taking you right now?
Rick, that's real interesting that you're sharing that, because in the last several months, God has put a very, very strong burning inside of me and made it very clear that the people of God, the true, and I need to qualify that, the true people of God, His true remnant, are going to need instructions, they're going to need to know understanding, and they're going to need to find a formula for themselves so that they can find understanding of God and the secret things of God, because in the days ahead, they're going to have to navigate by themselves. The day will come, Rick, when the radio program will be gone and the internet will be gone, and it'll just be them and God, or them and maybe a few friends, or them and their families. Some of the people listening right now might find themselves dependent on iPods and those disaster interviews and radio shows. They will be dependent only on what they know in their hearts and in the knowledge of God that they have already placed into their hearts. So right now, God says they need to be in boot camp. They need to be learning as quick as possible how to navigate what's coming. So they need to get their lamps full of oil. They need to get full of the Word. They need to hide the Word, and they need to have an understanding through the spiritual lens of what's happening in this world. Because in the natural, as these events start taking place, there's going to be a lot of deception, and people will not really know the truth. They're going to believe a lie. The majority of the church is going to believe a lie. So God's remnant needs to be the elect, and they need to find these things. So, in conclusion, they need to understand what's going to happen. Now, in saying that, Rick, there is also the hard truth that must be explained to them, and God has made this very clear, too. God said, I want you to let them know what's coming, and they need to understand why it's happening. It's not coming because God's mean. God's not the mean divine being up in heaven throwing lightning bolts on the earth, smiting the earth because he's bored and he wants to have target practice. That's not why it's happening. It's the same story that God has always carried out through man's history, and that is this, Rick. Man, when you look at human beings and when you look at the nature of man, there is one language that man understands, and that's discipline. Just like a child. A child understands discipline. God raised up the family unit. He raised up the fathers. He established all that as a shadow of him toward us. And a child is full of foolishness, and it's the rod of discipline that gets us back on track when we're children. It's the same way with grown-ups. God loves us, so he uses the language of discipline and chastisement to get us back in line and keep us on the highway, to keep us from straying beyond the hedge. So what God wants me sharing with people is communicate with them that the events that are coming does not mean I hate them. It means that I love them. And when we look at the book of Hosea, chapter 6, it says in verse 1, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has smitten us, and he will bind us up. So right there, Rick, at the very end of time, God is going to have to tear and purge and pull down parts of our lives so that we can be that bride that is pleasing in his sight without wrinkles. Whenever we go to the book of Luke, Jesus shared a parable in Luke 14 where he said the king wanted to have a meal, and he sent out his servants, and the servants went out and invited a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And in verse, 21, he says, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here. Now watch this, Rick. In Hosea, it says that God tears us, but he's going to heal us. So watch what it says right here. It says, he will bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Rick, I really believe that at the very end of time, before Jesus comes back, the church that was once self-confident and had their own fortified laws and depended on their own strength is going to find a new discovery of God, but in doing that, they are going to go through the fire of purging, and they will be maimed. Some of them will know sorrow, some of them will know grief, but that's because God loves us, because when he sees us as his bride ready, made white, some of us may need to have been purged. So the message that God wants me to share with people is that, folks, what is coming is not because God hates us, it's because God loves us, and he wants us to be ready. So with that said, Rick, yes, the reports of man can scare us and make our hearts grow faint, but we need to listen to the report from God that may be hard to listen to. It may be scary at times, but it needs to be heeded, because Revelation starts out in chapter 1. He that reads and heeds the word of this prophecy. That means we listen to it and not ignore it. It doesn't mean we deny it. It doesn't mean we put our head in the sand. It means we heed it. We heed the exhortation to learn to be overcomers. The message to the seven churches, he that overcomes. So overcoming means, Rick, that there's a challenge to overcome. And endurance means that we may be tired and the race may be very difficult. So endurance and overcoming means a challenge. So right now the people of God need to be strengthened, but they have to do it in a way that gives them spiritual fitness, Rick. So today, I do have some things that I want to share that God has laid on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some warnings. God has given me, it seems like, an overabundance. It's like a faucet got turned on with the prophetic warnings that have been coming, prophetic mm-hmm. visions, prophetic dreams. I used to see them every few months, Rick. Now it seems like every few days I am seeing.
I'm hearing this from other people that prophetic dreams and visions are stepping up in frequency, and the messages in them are becoming more urgent. Nathan, before we we hear these, there's a point I want you to bring out, because you and I have had this conversation privately, and that is, you know, all of us, we casually throw around the term remnant. We're remnant Christians. And as you've pointed out, a lot of people think that means, like, the chosen of God, the special Christians chosen by God, chosen in the last days for a very special purpose. These are the remnant Christians. But that's not really the meaning, is it?
The word remnant is past tense. When you go to the fabric store and the lady cuts off her bolt some fabric, the fabric's all together. There's no remnant at the time. Not yet. Not until the scissors are brought out and the shears are brought up to start cutting into that fabric. So remnant is past tense. So when people say, I'm remnant, well, how can you be remnant if you haven't been cut yet away from the larger group? So that buzzword may sound popular in a lot of Christian media, but those that are professing to be remnant can only be counted as remnant when they've proven themselves.
All right, I'm reading from, let's see here, what am I reading here? I'm looking at a Bible dictionary, and what it says is that, I can't read this whole thing, but it says the remnant means survivor, residue.
Wow.
Right? Survivor, residue. Right? Now this is taking it from the Hebrew word, which is, S-H-E-E-R-I-T, translated as remnant, meaning survivor, residue, remainder, or rest. And so it's the remnant are the survivors. And let me go down here. I'm reading into this. It says, this thought becomes a major prophetic theme. Israel became so rebellious that God threatened to annihilate her, but he relented and declared that he would preserve his people by saving a remnant of them from destruction. So the remnant are the people of God who survived the destruction.
Amen.
Now that's a totally different viewpoint on this term, remnant.
That means, you know, I've shared on a past program, and by the way, I know we're not going to have enough time on this program, but I want to invite people to go to my website when they have a chance, Rick. I did a 3-hour interview on another radio show that really got into detail of the events that are coming, and they can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and hear that. But if you're exactly right. The remnant means they survived. The remnant means that they achieved it. They reached their potential. It doesn't mean beforehand. You know, you can't have a trophy before the race. So if people want to survive what's coming, Rick, then that means they have to do a lot of soul searching, house cleaning, and they need to really, really take this thing serious. Because the remnant are those people that will not be deceived when the events start to come forth. The remnant are those who are going to endure what's coming. The remnant are those that are going to find their shelter with God. They're going to be the ones that through the power of the Holy Spirit are going to do mighty exploits for God. They're going to be the ones that minister through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness, to others around them. They're the ones that have an understanding. They are the ones that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And watch this, Rick. The remnant are those that did not love their life even unto death. And we cannot make it sound too comfortable, because the remnant are warriors for God, and they understand that God has built a better country. They understand that they have passports that aren't of this earth. So the remnant knows their God. They are the ones that have heard his voice, who have learned to do his will. They're the ones that know how to get a hold of God on their knees in the prayer closet. They're the ones who, like King David, knew how to encourage themselves in the Lord, because they're going to need that ability. They're the ones that have their lamps full. They're the ones that know how to discern the signs of the times, who know the word of the Lord. They're the ones that are Bereans and who have spent time with the Lord and with his word. They're the ones that aren't famished. They're not in a famine for the word of God. They're the ones who have their ears and their eyes open to hear the words of God. They have an understanding of the treasure of the knowledge of God. They know the works of righteousness. They know that the judgment of God is his love, Rick. So the remnant has strengths and abilities And this thing does not happen by a proclamation. The remnant is not remnant because they say so. You know, how many are remnant? You raise your hand. Well, remnant means you proved it. The trophy happens after the fact.
The remnant, you're a remnant because God allowed you to live through judgment.
Exactly. And they have learned to repent. They know the yearning, Rick. That water you talked about, they know, like David, I want a drink. That they yearn for that drink, like a deer panting. And they can't bear to be away from the prayer closet for too long of a duration because they start getting thirsty. They feel themselves empty and they want to go back. So the remnant has a lot of homework to do right now. Amen, Rick?
That's right. Well, listen, let's go ahead and take the rest of the time. Share with us some of the things the Lord has been showing you recently.
Okay, well, I want to start off by saying this. And here's the question that a lot of people need to consider. I know that your audience spans a multitude of different spiritual levels. Some of them are believers, some are not. Some are struggling, some are backslid, some are on fire. There's a lot of areas for the listeners are right now. But here's a question that I have for the listener, and that is this. Listener, do you know what time it is? Because a lot of people are pondering today's world's events, and they're wondering, well, okay, I listen to True News, but then I go to CNBC or MSNBC, Fox, and they tell me that the recovery is here, so is Rick really telling the truth? Is he trying to scare me? It's always doom and gloom. What time is it? So people are wondering that, Rick, that they wonder, are we in a cycle? Are we in a recession? Does this recession have a time limit? So first of all, I want to say this. We are not in a recession right now. Right now, Rick, it's 1931. We are at the beginning of the Depression. Now, in 1929, when the crash happened, it leveled off, and for several years, the economists back then said, it's over, we recovered. Boy, that was a close one. But then, we know from history that 1932 arrived, and then the second leg arrived. And it was more brutal the second time, and then the United States endured for 9 years this depression, and then December 7th, 1941 happened, we had World War II, and then millions and millions of people died throughout the world in horrible war. So right now, Rick, I really, really believe that it's 1931. I really, really believe the second leg is about to drop, and we are going to rhyme with history. It's not going to probably play out exactly like it did back then, but we're going to see war out of this depression that we're in. So in a nutshell, what time is it? Well, it's a very late hour. Right now, people have two choices. People can ignore what's coming. They can pretend and deny reality, or they can hear the warning cry that says, repent, and some of those things that I mentioned for the remnant, they need to find and discover those things. Because endurance is the only way that we are going to weather what's coming. It will be impossible to endure what's coming without God. And when I say God, Rick, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, Messiah, 100% repentance to him fully. Now, some people don't understand what 100% means with Jesus, Rick, but what that means is that Jesus becomes our close friend, and he becomes so close to us that we get all the benefits from knowing him. Throughout the Gospels, he made a lot of promises. I will never leave you or forsake you. But that must be qualified, because one of the number one benefits that we get from being close to Jesus is peace of mind in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a hurricane. And in layman's terms, what that means is when we start to see what's coming, we're not going to freak out. But here's the sad part, Rick. Unfortunately, a lot of people are stubborn, and they desire to observe God from afar and on their own terms. Now, I want to share a verse right now, and some people may actually be maybe bothered when I share this verse, but it's the truth, Rick. This is from the Word of God, and this is from the Psalm of David. And it says in Psalm 65, verse 8, they who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Now, listener, please pay attention to this. And I have a question. This is an honest one. When you hear about what's coming to this earth, do you become afraid? Now, according to the scripture I just read, this is a barometer, because when we hear about the signs that are coming upon the earth, if we become afraid, it says right there, Rick, we're dwelling too far from God. So that's a challenge and an exhortation and admonition that I have for the listeners today. I'm about to share something, Rick, and I want to say this. As the people listen to it, listener, please make note and please pay attention. As I share this, please know this. If you become fearful and afraid, then that might be a sign that you need to do some homework spiritually, because there's no way that we're going to get out of what's coming. So, Rick, I don't want to belabor the point, but that just needs to be said, because sometimes when people say, and they email me and I see them on Facebook and I see them on forums saying doom and gloom scares them, but let's be truthful, Rick. Well, then you need more of the peace of God as a helmet over your mind so that you're not scared, so that you have peace to be able to endure.
That's so, right. That also tells me they really don't read their Bible.
Amen, because the Bible tells us what's coming. Amen. So let me share some things that God has shown me. And God has shown me in several sessions of prayer. He has shown me in prophetic dreams. And as I have said earlier, these dreams are like a faucet now, Rick. Even last night I had another one. It's incredible. I won't share that one yet. But number one, let me say this, Rick. We right now are in a season. Business as usual is behind us. Now, I saw a very strange image, Rick, and I shared this with you on the phone yesterday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what the image was. It was an oak tree. This oak tree was about 50 feet tall. It was very strong. It had a very enormous trunk, but it wasn't an oak tree. It looked like an oak tree, but it wasn't an oak tree. And when I was looking at it, the leaves on this tree all turned yellow. And then I saw an invisible hand grab onto the trunk of this tree, and it started to shake it. And it was God shaking this tree. And then I heard the voice of the Lord say, "This is the tree of liberty." And the Holy Spirit showed me that on this tree of liberty, it's autumn. The leaves are yellow. They're about to fall off. The tree of liberty is about to lose its leaves. And I don't mean an annual autumn. I mean permanently. The leaves are about to fall off, but get this, Rick, it was God shaking it. And here's the odd thing. After the leaves started falling off, I saw people walking up to the tree, and they weren't bothered that the leaves were falling off, but instead they had their own remedy. And the reason they weren't upset about it is because they thought they could fix it themselves. And I told you this last night, Rick. They started to hang tea leaves, tea bags, on this tree. They thought that they were going to replace the Tree of Liberty with their own tea bags. They decided that they can solve the problem with their solution of tea bags. And today, Rick, how many evangelical Christians are participating in these events and in these rallies? And the question needs to be asked, for what reason? To drink tea? What's the foundation?
I agree. They think that a Tea Party revolution is going to solve the country's problems. And
exactly.
It
what
isn't.
Is the goal?
We need
what is
Jesus.
The hope? It's poetic symbolism. It's spiritual rhetoric. And I know that some of your listeners may have hope in that, but folks, we need to really see what's happening from the eyes of God, from the eyes of heaven, from the lens of heaven, of another dimension. Glenn Beck said we need to return honor to America. But, Rick, I have to ask this question. How can America have any honor when she's a butcher shop? How can she have her honor when the stars and stripes are painted with more dead babies than dead soldiers? Now, they say that they're having a tea party. A party means a festival. So what are they celebrating? Now, listener, I'm not trying to offend you and be unkind, but really, this is an honest question. And I have to say these things right now because in the eyes of God and in heaven, there is no celebration for America right now. There's too many evangelicals who have no idea what time it is, Rick. And here's the sad part of this whole matter. As these events continue and as people hang tea bags on their little tree, I fear that they're going to be sealing their own faith because they're showing right now where they're placing their trust.
That's right.
They're showing that repentance is not their remedy. Tea bags worked in the 18th century, but that was then. Now, another thing, listener, please know this. Patriotism is not repentance. Jesus is the way, and the Tea Party is not seeking his way. Glenn Beck is not the answer. His shotgun approach to many gods is not going to save this country. God's shaking the Tree of Liberty. I saw it, Rick, with my own eyes. But the evangelicals would rather give a drink offering to Babylon's Queen of Heaven. Now, those are strong words, but Israel did the same thing, Rick. They put their faith in the Queen of Heaven, and they gave a drink offering to the wrong God.
Nathan, we say that our freedoms and liberties are God-given. But if they are God-given, they can be God-taken away. And this is something that I have been saying to the patriot community for 11 and a half years on the radio. You will never save this republic without repentance. I've watched this for 11 and a half years. I've watched patriotic movements rise up and die away, rise up and die away over these 11 and a half years. They all fail because they think they're going to solve it their way. They don't want to repent. They don't want to humble themselves before God. They don't want to cry out for mercy. And so these patriotic movements simply fade away. And if our freedoms and liberties were God-given, a gift to this nation, then they can be taken away. And so, yes, we are being stripped of our liberty. A police state is rising up. But this is not the work of the New World Order. This is the result of God's judgment on the nation.
Amen.
God is allowing tyrants to rule in our nation and take away our freedom.
Amen.
It is part of the judgment.
God has always done it in Scripture.
It's part of the judgment.
And allow them to come in. Rick, I also shared another thing with you last night on the phone. On September 11th, Saturday, just a few days ago, I had a prophetic dream, and this one was very ominous, but this is what I saw in the dream. And it was a message to America. It was real short, but here's what the words were, Rick. You will die in the Gulf of Mexico. That was the message for America. Now, this thing is imminent. It's not going to be stopped. And thus far, Liberty's tree is losing its leaves. God's shaking it, but America's next part of the judgment is an event is going to take place, Rick, that's going to kill this country in the Gulf of Mexico. I saw it in a prophetic dream.
Okay, now
I don't know.
Well, first of all, explain this dream a little bit more, because you told me about it last night, exactly what you saw in the dream.
Okay. In the dream, I was at my computer, and I opened my Outlook, my email, and there was a subject line. And I saw the subject line, and it had those words, "You will die in the Gulf of Mexico." And in the dream, I was filled with terror, Rick, and I said, I'm not reading that, and I turned it off. Well, after I woke up, I was very disturbed, and I went to my wife, and I said, honey, I'm not going to the Gulf of Mexico, because I thought that message was for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to seek God, and I called up Benjamin Baruch and some other people that have gifts of interpretation, and then I sought the Holy Spirit. And from what he shared with me, and after the Holy Spirit was revealing to me what this really meant, was I was looking through the lens of America, and what this meant was America does not want to know her fate. She wants to be in denial. She wants to stick her head in the sand, but this is what the message is. America is going to die. This message was for all the people, Rick. Our liberties, the way that this country once existed, is going to die, and the Gulf of Mexico is going to play a role in that. Now, does that mean that's where the invaders are going to come from with their bayonets? I don't know. A tsunami, a storm, an earth change event? I do not know, but I want to share this because I don't know how much time we have left. How are we doing?
We got about 12 minutes. Before I go on, you know, we won't have time to talk about this, but when you said this dream about the email, you will die in the Gulf of Mexico, immediately I thought about evangelist A.A. Allen's vision, July 4, 1954, and A.A. Allen saw the Statue of Liberty in the Gulf of Mexico, and it fell over and drowned in the Gulf of Mexico. And then a skeleton head came up over the horizon over the western United States. I kind of got, if I recall, towards the northwest, and a skeleton figure, a head, appeared in the sky and blew a yellow gas over the nation, and the people began to choke and die.
I have heard that dream also. In fact, after yesterday, I was made note of it, and my wife and I read it last night, and I couldn't believe it, Rick, because I have seen some similarities in the things God has shown me, the Statue of Liberty, the Sword of God. I mean, I've seen those things as well. So that shows that the Holy Spirit's timeless, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever to warn his people. Now, in the last remaining minutes, Rick, the last time I was on your program, I had a short duration, and I shared about a vision that I saw of darkness coming over the land. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it real quick for those that might not have heard that, but I have seen, Rick, in the spirit, a black cloud of very, very black darkness is going to come over the land. And it's going to drip darkness over the land. And when it lands, when these drips come over the land, there's going to be a shaking of the land, and the land is going to give birth to black whirlwinds and black tornadoes. I went into much detail on this in my last interview. They can go to my website and hear that. But a black tornado, a whirlwind is coming. A terror is going to come, Rick. And the only remedy and solution is to find shelter in the heart of God, in the place of God. So a lot of times when I have these prophetic dreams and visions, God is always protected. The tornadoes will come forth toward our house, and then they go around us. I have had boulders rolling toward my house, and they go around us. So judgment is a terror, Rick. God is mighty. Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. God is not a wimp. He is going to shake and quake this land. Now, I don't know what this darkness is that's coming, but lately I've been reading in the scriptures, and I see that throughout the Old Testament, when God has judged Israel, he told them that darkness was coming upon them. He said that black clouds were coming upon them. So here we are, repeating history, Rick. My spirit right now is on red alert.
Mine too. Nathan, on Monday's program, Augusto Perez was on a program, and he said that several weeks ago, the Lord spoke to him the word ubiquitous. And he said, I didn't know what it meant. And he said, but he heard it in his spirit. And then on Labor Day, I rebroadcast a program that we aired from last September 2009, in which it was a program that came together spontaneously. We had about five, six people in the program, and there were two sisters from the state of Washington on, and they said that the year before, which would have been 2008, the Lord gave one of them a vision of a black membrane covering the United States or covering the world. I think she said the whole world. And it was, and the word, the Lord said to her, ubiquitous. Well, ubiquitous
wow.
means all seeing, all pervasive, knows everything, is everywhere. And what I see out of this is this is Satan's counterfeit of God's omnipresent abilities, that Satan is putting together some type of surveillance society, a ubiquitous membrane that covers the planet, that he knows everything, knows where you're at, watching you through cameras and all kinds of sensors. It's suffocating. A membrane does not allow anything to leave or penetrate in. And
right.
it's gross darkness that's coming upon the world. A month or so ago, I was on a flight coming home from Panama. And there were two, this is one of those things where I changed seats and happened to be sitting beside these two women. They turned out they were doctors in Panama. And the one woman asked me why I had been to Panama, and we began talking, and the door opened up for me to share with her some things about the end times. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you, there's some very dark times coming upon the world. And she got quiet, and she said, I'm going to tell you a dream. I've never told anybody this dream. And this woman's a doctor. She said, I was standing in my home, in my kitchen, and I was looking out the kitchen door at the moon, and the moon fell out of the sky, and there was total blackness, and it was so dark I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. I stumbled through the house trying to find my family, and she said that was the end of the dream. But then several weeks later, she said she was walking past a church, and she felt an impression to go inside the church, and she went in and stood at the altar and looked at the cross, and she said a warm feeling of light and happiness and safety came on her. And she was like teary-eyed telling me this stuff. And I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you the interpretation, what's happening here. And I read to her from Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen over you. And I told her, I said, there's something coming to the earth. It's gross darkness is coming upon the world. God showed you it's not the moon's going to fall out of the sky. Light is going to disappear. Gross darkness is coming upon the earth. You're going to stumble trying to lead your family to safety, but God took you to the cross. He led you to the cross. And, ma'am, the Lord is trying to tell you that He will shower you with light and safety and security if you will run to the cross. This is all taking place on an airplane. I mean, it's an amazing thing how it happened. But, Nathan, God is speaking to people. He's speaking even to the unsaved in dreams and visions. He's showing them gross darkness coming upon the earth. He's getting people prepared for it. But if you read Isaiah 60, it says, light shall arise upon God's people. And this is what is so exciting and encouraging, that in this darkness, which is not just darkness, but gross darkness, the light of God will arise upon His people, the remnant. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. I mean, God's going to do something, Nathan, in this darkness. He is going to do a spectacular work for the remnant of His church. And the world is going to be trapped in gross darkness, but God's light is going to be upon His remnant church. And if we don't know His word, we don't know His promises, Nathan, we're going to miss it. We're not going to see it. We're not going to walk in it. We're not going to experience it. We have to know the word and the promises of God. And so, Nathan, man, I'm telling you, part of me, my flesh gets scared times. I start thinking about this stuff, and I'm like, I don't want it to happen. I don't want to go through this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. But then my spirit, man, I start thinking about New Jerusalem. It's like, I got to go through this darkness to get to New Jerusalem. That's all there is to it. This is the way to New Jerusalem. We're going to have to go through it. Jesus said that those who endure to the end, endure. Man, that's a strong word. Endure to the end. Those who endure to the end will be saved.
Can I? Yes,
sir. You got about 30 seconds before the music starts, but go ahead.
Okay, Psalms 25, verse 9. The meek He will guide in judgment, and the meek He will teach His way, the path of the Lord our mercy. So, Rick, we need to be humble before Him, and He will guide us through this judgment.
Yes, He will.
He'll hold our hand through it.
Yes, He will.
He'll be there for us.
We're going to see incredible things, things that the prophets and the apostles and the Old Testament prophets would have only dreamed that they would experience. They saw into the future the arrival of the Messiah. They saw into the future the New Jerusalem. They saw it thousands of years ago. But we are alive now to welcome the King of Glory back to this earth. I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. My flesh doesn't want to go through these things. I wish it wasn't happening. But I desire New Jerusalem so much, I'll go through hell in order to be in New Jerusalem. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be worried. I'm going to be waving the banner of Christ. I'm going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I'm going to do valiant, glorious things in the name of my Lord and Savior. I am going to proclaim the goodness of God. And I believe you will too. You're strong in the Lord. You are the remnant of God. You are Israel. And you will prevail.